This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Until I make sure that Binyamin's okay. So he's going to stay there. And then we have this next ayah where it says, Irji'u ila abikum, go to your father. Fakulu, and say to him, Ya abana, O our father, inna banak saraka wa ma shahidna illa bima alimna ma kunna lil ghaibi hafilin. Tell your father that, O father, your son has stolen, and because of that, we need you to understand that we do not testify. We're not bearing witness. We're not saying anything except of what we know. So we're not making a character judgment. We're not saying that he's the worst son in the world. We're just saying that this is what we know, and this is what they're holding him back for. And he says that, وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ. And we were not witnesses, or you would even say able to safeguard against things that are, how could we safeguard anything that was unseen, right? And what that means was, this is unforeseeable circumstances that occurred. And because these circumstances were unforeseeable, we were not able to protect Binyamin in the way that we promised you that we would, because we couldn't see it. Had we known that this would be the outcome of taking Binyamin there, had we known that this would have been possible, then we wouldn't have begged for him to come. So they're essentially, he's essentially telling them, go and set up the case for yourself. And then tell him, was'al al-qarya, give him the ability to go and investigate. So tell him and go and ask the people, allati kunna fiha, in the city that we were in, and they had gone to the city multiple times. So remember, this is not the first time that they went to the city. It's not the first time that they interacted with the minister, who is Yusuf alayhi salam. So they said, go, and you can ask those people. وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا. And you can also ask the people that gave us a ride there, meaning the caravan. So we traveled with people, we've been in that city, and they all witnessed what happened. وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ. And indeed, you will find that we are truthful. Now, when they say this to their father, you can only imagine what the father's response is. Because they had once made a promise to their father that they would bring Yusuf back. They had once made a promise to their father that they didn't want anything evil done to Yusuf alayhi salam. And where did that get them? Or where did that get Yaqub alayhi salam? Without a son. And so now they've made another promise to their father that they will bring their brother back. And Yaqub alayhi salam is still, again, without a son for a second time around. And so Yaqub alayhi salam's response was, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. The same thing that he said in the time that Yusuf alayhi salam was missing, and they claimed that what occurred or what happened was that a wolf came and ate him. Then Yaqub alayhi salam tells them, no. There's something that has enticed your soul. And sawwalat means that there was something that was presented to you that beautified this thing, that made it seem like the right decision to make. And then he says, fasabrun jameel. So I will remain and have a very beautiful patience, which is the same thing that he said at the time of Yusuf alayhi salam disappearing. Now, beautiful patience is something that we've covered, but I think it's important for us to understand what it means. Right? Remember that sabr is about restraint. It's about, it literally is used when tying something, tying your camel. So it's about holding back the true level or extent of emotion that's irrational. You ever get to like, you ever be like so upset and there's like a lot of rationale, you're rational about it, but then you get to that like, you know, the cliff is there and you just kind of go, keep going. Yeah, sabr is not going over the cliff. And going over the cliff is what gets you to the Allah, why me? I didn't deserve this. Why would you do this to me? I pray all the time. I fast. There's other people who like do far worse. They have far more. Yeah, that sabr stops you from reaching that point. And it's important to not reach that point. Why? Because even in the time of anger, okay, even in time of anger, we may say things that we do not mean. But imagine you are having a conversation with your best friend. Okay, imagine you have someone that you really love and you care for, and you're talking to that person, and maybe something triggers you, you get a little upset, and to that person you tell them, you've never done anything for me, you were never there for me, you've always been this way, and blah, 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 and this and that. You keep saying these things. then when you leave that conversation, you don't feel very good. But imagine how you've made the other person feel. And though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us, and he does not need our kindness, but if we want to be the wali of Allah, right? We want to be friends of God. Then we also have to carry ourselves in that relationship accordingly. We wouldn't want someone to diminish the help that we've given them. So why would we diminish the help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us through and through in our life? Because a bump has come in the road, because a difficulty has occurred, because we have an inconvenience, right? And I'm not by any means belittling what Yaqub alayhi salam is going through, because Yaqub alayhi salam is the one who's saying that I'm not going to belittle the help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me in my lifetime. Yaqub alayhi salam himself is saying, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, I'm going to endure, I'm going to take this difficulty, but I'm going to take it in the most beautiful way. And the most beautiful way of taking a difficulty is taking it with Allah. And that means that you consult and you talk to God. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help throughout that difficulty. But it also means that you acknowledge that this difficulty, there's some khayr in it. There's some good. There's something that you may be able to get out of it. So Yaqub alayhi salam then says, Asallahu an ya'tiyani bihim jami'an. That perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them to me all together. So remember, his sons are now kind of scattered. Binyamin and Yusuf alayhi salam, they're back in the city. But his older son is in the city too. Because you remember, his older son said, I'm not leaving here without Binyamin. I'm going to sit here until I know that his matter is taken care of, because we made a promise. And he wants to make sure that he doesn't make the same mistake that he made when they did what they did to Yusuf. So he's staying there. So Yaqub alayhi salam is not only grieving the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam now, but he's also now grieving the fact that Binyamin is gone. And then on top of that, his older son is not there, but the rest of the sons are with him. So he says that there, I know that there's going to come a time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring me back with all of my kids. And he says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. And he refers to Allah in two of his characteristics, two of his asma, two of his names. The first one is that he says, Alim. I know that Allah is all-knowing. He's all aware, he's all knowledgeable, he's all knowing. And he's all knowing of the difficulty that has befallen me. But he's also all knowing of the solution that's going to come out of this. Sometimes we're in the thick of hardship and we feel like there's no solution in this. You know, you feel like, you know what? This is just going to be my life and it is what it is. And some days it's easy to accept that, and some days it's very difficult to accept it. On the days that it's easy, you say, I can live this life every day. I don't like it, it's not ideal, but it's fine. But the days that it's hard, it is, okay, I don't know why Allah would put this burden onto me. But when you know that there is a solution, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a cure for every single illness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a solution for every single problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a way out for every single difficulty. But sometimes the journey of the difficulty is exactly what you need to go through in order to know something or to learn something or to develop and to grow. Because at the end of the day, the production of a diamond is not made by being cute. It's not how it happens, right? It's difficult, it's hard, it's pressure. Pressure makes diamonds, not pebbles, diamonds, right? Yeah, exactly. Just say it again. I can't do that. That's not how it works. You know, she's so funny. We'll talk about it later. But when you think about that, right, you think about how the most valuable things that you have in life, those things were not made through the process of someone just sitting around. It was made through difficulty, through hardship. Why? Because trial and tribulation allows you to know who you are and the things that you need to grow in. Right? It lets you know that these are the things that I'm good at. This is a response I'm not so great at. This is a situation that I could have done better at. Well, actually, I'm very proud of myself because I got through this situation. So different things allow for you to see different outcomes and different ways of who you are. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being all-knowing means that God knows the solution to this issue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when you're going to get out of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the exact type of help that you need to get out of it. And then we have al-hakim. Just because someone knows something doesn't mean they're wise, right? I can know a lot of things. But you ever heard of a know-it-all? Who likes a know-it-all? Nobody. Nobody likes a know-it-all. Because a know-it-all does not actually know the right time and place to say something. So it's like someone's in the thick of an issue and they're like seeking advice. And maybe you as a person who's there as a bystander know that that person needs to just be told it's going to be okay. And this know-it-all is like, well, let me tell you all the places that you went wrong. It's like, it's not the time. It's not the place. It's an honest statement. But this is not the time. It's not the place. It's definitely not the moment. It's not the moment. So someone can have knowledge of something, but not be very wise in how they communicate that knowledge, not be very wise in how they navigate it, not be very wise in the role that they play in people's lives. But Yaqub alayhi salam gives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these two attributes, in these two characteristics and names of Allah, recognizing that I know that Allah is all aware of my situation, and I know that in the timeline that He's presenting the situation and how long the situation has been going on for and what is happening exactly right now, that Allah is all wise. And there's something that is going to come out of this. And then you have in verse number 83 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَلَّى عَنْهُمْ, and He turned away from them. وَقَالَ, and He then said, يَا أَسَفَ عَلَى يُوسُفَ. He says, I'm ever so saddened by the situation of Yusuf. Okay? I'm so sad. Remember فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ? Now, typically, when someone tells you be patient, they think that you're supposed to just be, like, happy. Be patient means that you are so ecstatic. Where someone says, how's life? And life may not be going that well. And you're like, it's actually the best it's ever been. That's not what being patient means. It doesn't mean that you lie, okay? It means that you don't enter into a level of disparity. That's what being patient means. You don't despair in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what being patient means. But you can face sadness and difficulty and acknowledge that sadness and difficulty. But Yaqub alayhi salam, what does he do? He turns away from them, meaning that he's not expressing his sadness to them. Right? He's expressing his sadness, one, to himself, but he's expressing his sadness to Allah. And he says, Ya Asafa ala Yusufa. I'm ever so sad, and there's so much sorrow that I have, so much sadness that I have because of the situation of Yusuf. وَبَيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that his eyes turned white because of how sad he was, meaning that he cried until he was blind. He could not see anymore. فَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ. And he was ever so sad. Kadhim is so interesting because kadhim means for someone to have, not only for somebody to be sad, but it actually means for someone to be so sad, but they bottle it up. Okay? It means like a sadness that one does not express. It is a sadness that one keeps inside of them and they don't really tell other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains Yaqub alayhi salam as being kadhim. Now, this is not an encouragement that you bottle things up until you're blind. It's not what God is saying. But look at Yaqub alayhi salam's position. Was Yaqub alayhi salam a normal community member? No. He was the one that people went to for their sadness, right? He was the one that people went to for their problems. He was the one who had to be the solution-oriented human in the community. And it wasn't just a responsibility that he put upon himself. It was a responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put upon him. And so, you know how they say therapists need therapists, right? Yaqub alayhi salam, the one that he would go to was to Allah. That is why. But it's true. It is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put people in your life for you to be able to express your difficulty, for you to be able to navigate that challenge or that journey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling you that you're not allowed to communicate the problems that you're facing. In fact, consultation, right? Shura is a part of our tradition. And I know we think about consultation only in the facts of like, should I buy a house, should I not? You know, when we think about it in the life of the Prophet, should we go to war, should we not? But there's a reason why there's an emphasis in that. This emphasis is doing what? It's showing us that the companions, when they would want to make a decision, they would go to the Prophecy Center and ask the Prophecy Center, should I do X, Y, and Z? They would tell the Prophecy Center, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. What do you think? And the Prophecy Center would encourage them, or he would give them advice, or he would just spend time with them. What is that showing us? It is okay to have friends. It's okay to have family. It's okay to have communities. It's okay to have people that care about you, and you communicate to them that this is the thing that I'm going through, and this is the difficulty that I'm facing. But when you're communicating that, ask yourself, am I doing this just to complain? Or am I doing this because I want a solution? If it's for complaining purposes, then we're going to hold off. But if it's solution oriented, by all means. Why? Because you're going to stick to the facts. And you're going to address the situation accordingly. And sometimes the solution that you need is someone telling you it's going to be okay. And that is okay. It is okay to just need a pat on the back. It's okay to just need someone to say, someone to like kind of push you forward and encourage you. Where they're not taking anything off of your plate, but they're giving you space, emotional and mental space. And it's important to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does put people in other people's life for this reason. So Yaqub alayhi salam being described as kadhim, it means that he was someone that was filled with grief. But he held back on expressing it. Which is why we don't find early in the surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he was blinded by his sorrow. We don't find that early in the surah. But there does come a point where sometimes when the rain, when it keeps pouring and the difficulty keeps difficulting, that you do reach a point where you're like, this is a lot. And you find that Yaqub alayhi salam is at that point where he's facing so much difficulty. Not just the situation with Yusuf, but now the situation with Binyamin is a little triggering. It's a little triggering. He was already sad with the situation with Yusuf, and now Binyamin's situation comes up. So now we see that he really fully expresses that grief. But he still does it in a way that is pleasing to Allah because he expresses that grief to Allah alone. Then you have, he says, Qalu, Tallahi, that the people, then his kids, they turn to him and they say, we swear by Allah, taftau tadhkuru Yusufa, that you will not stop remembering Yusuf. You just keep remembering him. You keep reminiscing about him. Hatta takuna haradan. And you're going to keep doing this until you become so sick. Not maradan. Marad means someone who's sick. But it's an illness that's curable. Okay, it's an illness that could be fatal, but it's curable. Then you have haradan, which is an illness that is fatal. You're going to worry yourself to death about him. Aw takuna min al-halikin. Or you'll be amongst those who just are perish or like lifeless, but more so means that you just, there's nothing left to you. You're going to let grief eat you up so much so that you won't be able to be a functional person in society. Then Yaqub alayhi salam responds and qala, he says, innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. He says, and it's such an epic response. He says, I only complain of my suffering to Allah. You cannot say anything to me. They told him, oh, you're so sad about Yusuf, and you're just always so sad about him. And if you don't stop being sad about him, you're going to die this way. And it's just, you're just going to become a useless human. And he says, I didn't talk to you about it. I've never complained to you about it. I've only complained about my suffering. He doesn't say my sadness. Okay? He doesn't start with my sadness. He says, Bathi, my suffering. How heavy this has weighed upon me. Wa huzni, and my sadness, ilallahi. It is only to Allah that I've complained about it. وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I only complain to Allah about it because I know about Allah what you do not know. Because he has conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has this awareness and this knowledge that God will see him through a situation that everybody thinks is impossible. They were fully convinced that Yaqub alayhi salam would never see Yusuf alayhi salam again. But what does Yaqub alayhi salam say? He says, I have hope that my Lord will return all of my kids to me. So I know that I will see him again. But just because you know something doesn't take the emotion away from it, especially when the timeline is unknown. But we fast forward, or we go back, rewind, fast rewind, back to the beginning of Surah Yusuf. And we said that Surah Yusuf was revealed at a time that the Prophet was experiencing a lot of grief and difficulty. And one of the things that he experienced, or two of the things, three of the things he experienced, was the passing of his wife Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He experienced the passing of his uncle Abu Talib, but he also experienced a difficulty that he hadn't thought of. And you remember how we said when the rain is raining and the difficulty is difficulting and it's packing on and packing on, you reach a point where you're like, this is a lot, it's a lot, and you feel like it's the straw that's going to break the camel's back. Well, just like Yaqub alayhi salam reached that point here, and he says that I only complain of my difficulty to Allah, when the Prophet goes to Ta'if, and they stone his feet, it wasn't them like rejecting, that was a lot, but when they were willing to kill Zayd, and then they were willing to harm the Prophet so bad, and it's so hot, and he's so tired, and he's walking, and he was so kind to them, all of those things were difficult. But for him to see that they lined up the children too, it was almost like how terrible of a people that you can make children do such atrocious things, and gave the children and the slaves these rocks and pellets and told them to stone the Prophet's feet. And that's what they did. So you remember the Prophet sitting at this tree and he's thinking about the difficulty that he's faced. It's not just the difficulty he's faced at Ta'if. It is the 3 years of the boycott. It is the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu being beaten almost into a coma because of his belief. You know, it is the passing of his wife. It is the passing of his uncle, and his uncle is not Muslim. It is the disrespect and the rejection of the people of Ta'if. There's so many difficulties on difficulties on difficulties that the Prophet has faced. So the year of sorrow is not really just a year of sorrow. It was like 12 years of difficulty and sorrow that all just came crashing down into 1 year. And what does the Prophet say? Allahumma ilayka ashku. Same wording. Oh Allah, it is only to you that I complain. Da'fa quwwati. Of the weakness in my power, وَقِلَّةَ هِيلَتِي, and how little control and support that I have, وَحَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ, and how I've been made to be so little and humiliated in front of the people, يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ, oh, the one who is ever so merciful and the one who is most merciful out of the people who are merciful, أَنْتَ رَبُّ الْمُسْتَضْعَفِينَ, that you are the Lord of those who are weak, وَأَنْتَ رَبِّي, and you are my Lord. إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي, who are you going to leave me to and give power over me? إِلَى بَعِيدٍ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي, to people who are so far from caring. They're distant people. They don't care at all. أَمْ إِلَى عَدُوٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي, or is it to my enemy that you will give control over me to? Give them the control over my matter and my situation in my life. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ, but if you're not upset with me, فَلَا أُبَالِي, then there is no problem. Do it all over again. But you see that same sentiment is what the Prophet was feeling at this time. And then this surah comes down as a consolation to him. And imagine you're going through something and life is really hard, and someone comes to you, and somebody that you respect and you love and you care for, and they said that person also went through something similar. And these were the words that they said. And you're thinking to yourself, like, I said something very similar like that. All of a sudden, it gives you a little bit more strength, because you don't feel like you're going through that situation alone. And even though you may not have met this person, but the sheer fact that you have so much love and respect for them makes you feel like, wow, this is an inspiration. This is something that is keeping me going. And so Yaqub alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presenting this portion of the story, he could have very well left it out. But he wants us to get a glimpse into what Yaqub alayhi salam was feeling, one, and two, how he dealt with what he's feeling. And then he says, وَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know about Allah what you do not know. You may think that I'm a crazy, senile old man that is crying about something that will never be better, but I know that my Lord will not leave me empty-handed. And this is the same thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam said. He said over and over again, there's never been a time that I've made dua to Allah and Allah has left me empty-handed. Zakaria alayhi salam says the same thing. When he's making dua for the impossible, a child, at a time when both him and his wife were so old that it was as if they were barren. They were not able to have a kid. And he makes dua to Allah. He says, Allah, I've never been left empty-handed when I prayed from you to you. And so I know you won't leave me empty-handed here. But the beauty of dua like this is that we have to understand what does being left empty-handed mean. Because for us, you know, if I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a Corvette, and I don't get a Corvette, I'm like, left me empty-handed. But I have a nice, reliable, functioning, registration intact vehicle. Have I been left empty-handed, really? No. Because maybe there's something that Allah is protecting me from. And so it's important to evaluate the dua that you're making, but also what is it that Allah has given you in your life? And then we have here that he then responds to them. And he says, Ya baniya, idhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhihi. He says, I want you guys, all my sons, I need all of you to get up. And you need to go out. He doesn't just say go and like find him. He says go and investigate. Figure it out. Use your senses. It literally means to use your senses. I need you to go and use your senses to see what's happened to Yusuf and his brother. Wala ta'asu min rohillahi. And don't go out there and lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Don't go and lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Because you will know what happened to your brother, and you will know what happened to Benjamin, your other brother, when you go out and use your senses that God has given you. So go and be smart. What's interesting is that the brothers already interacted with Yusuf alayhi salam so many times. But you know when you're kind of like not really paying attention and there's people you should like recognize but you don't recognize? It happens to me all the time. Okay? People you should recognize, you don't really recognize them and you just keep it pushing. That's what they're doing. They're not paying attention. So it's very interesting that he doesn't just tell them already. Okay. It's interesting that he doesn't just tell them to go and look. He doesn't just say look. He says use your senses, investigate, go see what is happening. And he says, and don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah, because it's only out of the mercy of Allah that you're going to get the answer that you need to find. He says, innahu la ya'asu min rohillahi illa al-qawm al-kafirun, that the only people who lose hope in Allah are people who are disbelievers. Why? Because a disbeliever does not truly know who Allah is. If you truly knew who Allah was, you will never lose hope in Allah. What does this mean to us, though? It means that even in the roughest of situations, you know that Allah is going to come and Allah is going to look out for you. That the blessings Allah has in store for you, he's going to present them to you. You know that there's light throughout the tunnel. You know that there are difficulties that you face because this is life, but your life is not all difficult. You know that there is happiness in times of just the really toughest time, but you still had a good time. There are still times where Allah allowed you to laugh. There are still times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to enjoy life. There are still times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed you to still see the beauty of the world. We are now in a situation where we're seeing so much atrocity. And I know we're faced with this difficult type of like feeling of, do I be happy for the good things that I have? Should I always be sad? But just think about the Muslims in the time of the prophecies to them. They're facing the battle of Badr. Literally in the battle of Badr, they're standing. And the Prophet is placing each of them in their roles. And there's a companion there and he doesn't have an shirt. And the Prophet poked him to get him into his role. And then he looks at the Prophet and he says, like he like acts like he's like angry. And he tells him, Ya Rasulullah, all is not good with me. Because the Prophet is like, everybody's good, you're in your position, you're ready to go. He says, no, all is not good with me. The Prophet is like, what are you talking about? He said, you poked me. And Rasulullah was like, what? Like, we're about to go for a battle. He's like, ya Rasulullah, you poked me. And it's an eye for an eye. So the Prophet says, okay, go ahead, poke me back. And he says, no, I didn't have on a shirt. So you have to take off your shirt. Because you poked me and I didn't have on a shirt. The Prophet took off his shirt. And then he poked the Prophet back. And it was just because he loved him so much. And they're about to go into battle. And he doesn't know if he's going to make it. So his last memory that he wanted to have with the Prophet was something fun. Obviously, he could have told him a joke. But that was his way of joking. But can you imagine, like, they know they're about to face odds that are going to be completely against them. They know this. And they know it's very possible they're not going to make it out of this battle. They know this. They know they're going to go and face their death and their mortality. They know this. But in that moment, they still find happiness. Why? Because they did not lose hope in Allah. And so for us, Maghrib is in, which they lied to me when we started. Okay, just going to let you know. But for us, what are we getting out of today? We're getting out of today that you can never lose hope in Allah. Not just because Allah is always there, but because we're not disbelievers. And what does Yaqub alayhi salam say? Only disbelievers lose hope in Allah. As a believer, it's like, as a believer, we know who Allah is. We know that Allah will take care of us. We know that Allah is just. We know that Allah is kind. We know that Allah is fair. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds oppressors accountable. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. He's all knowledgeable. He's all aware. And he's forbearing. You know what it means for Allah to be Halim, forbearing? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sit and watch his servants disobey him every single day. And though, and this is the definition of Imam Ghazali, and though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to hold someone accountable immediately, he does not do it. He gives them time to repent or time to dig themselves into a deeper hole. And that is actually the mercy of Allah. Because as believers, we have a gift. That gift is not perfection, it's what? Tawbah. So we don't lose hope in Allah because we know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be merciful. We don't lose hope of Allah because we also know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just and hold people accountable. And so with everything that we are experiencing, it is time for us to take a lesson out of the book, out of the page of Yaqub alayhi salam's life. And to be patient, but not be patient and passive. To be patient and strong. To be patient and have this level of conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ability. To be patient and understand who our Lord is. To be patient and be educated. To be patient and make the right decisions. To be patient and push forward. That is what sabr and jameel means. That is, doesn't mean be in the corner and be complacent. That's not who Allah created you to be. Allah created you to be someone to fight something with your hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to be someone to fight something with your tongue. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to be someone to at least hate it in your heart. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from everything that we heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who are always on the right side of history. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to gather in a gathering much better than this, to drink from the blessed hands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And apparently the time goes back next week, so we'll have our full hour, inshallah.